I appreciate the opportunity nonetheless. We're very blessed to be members of a congregation where we're encouraged so much to be workers for the Lord. And so I thank the elders for this opportunity. Today, I'm going to talk to you for a minute about something, a topic we're all very familiar with. It's a topic I preached a series of four sermons in Waco, Texas a few months ago. This is the second sermon in that series, and it's about contentment. And I know we all know that we're commanded to be content and why we need to be content, but I figured here in the holiday season it would be a good time to hear about it one more time, and that's coming from a guy who's already texted everybody and said, this is what to get me for Christmas. I don't know exactly what I want, but I don't want to necessarily talk about why we need to be content this morning, but I want to talk about how it is that we as Christians can always be content. It's not always easy to have the proper contentment, the contentment we need and the contentment we're given in the Bible, given instruction of in the Bible, but there are a few ideas that if we keep these in our minds at all times, we can have that foundation that we need, that ability to recall this information that will make being content, I believe, all the much easier. I am going to be going through quite a few verses this morning. They will be on the PowerPoint, so I apologize if you're not able to follow along with me in your Bibles for all of them. But first of all, I want to talk about the awareness of God's presence and care. We must be aware constantly of God's presence and care for us. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. The Lord is with us always, and we need to be aware of that. In Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, it's a verse we're all familiar with. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. God is always with us. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, it's to the chief musician, a psalm of the son of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very, very present help in trouble. God is always there for us. He's always present. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We are constantly in our Lord's thoughts. And we all too often don't take the time to make sure that our Lord is constantly in our thoughts as well. But he is always there for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's given here in the book of Hebrews as the reason or a way we can be content. We're told to be content, let our conduct be without covetousness, and that the Lord will always be with us and never forsake us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, it says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And in Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We've heard some sermons here lately about God's blessings and God giving us things in his time. And we need to constantly keep this in mind. We need to know that God's there for us, but he may not always be there for us the way we want him to be there for us. Because he knows what's best for us, and we don't always know what's best for us. So we need to make sure that we keep in mind that God will supply all of our need. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him in time of need." To help in time of need. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, this is the verse Brady read for us, and I greatly appreciate that, Brady. It says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." If we do the things we're supposed to do, if we work and if we are righteous, our Lord will not forget that work. Our Lord will be with us always in that work, and he will keep us in his thoughts if we keep him in ours. Secondly, I think we need to have, in addition to awareness of his presence and care, the confidence that God will continue to provide. We're also given ample examples of this in Scripture. The first and second Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." I always say believed because I'm singing the song in my head whenever I'm reading this verse. "But he will keep what I have committed to him until that day." Our Lord will continue to provide for us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Our Lord will provide for us not just the things we need, but things to enjoy. In Psalm 37, verse 25, it says, "I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Our Lord will never forget us in our time of need. And like I said earlier, we may think we need more than we have, but we're blessed beyond all belief. And we need to recognize that God has provided all things for us and will continue to provide those things. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, it says, "Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts and with food and gladness." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." The Lord's given us things that we may not even realize he's given us. He's given us the abilities to be workers for him. He's given us the ability to do the things that he's commanded us to do in Scripture. There's nothing he's going to give us that we can't handle. And we need to keep that at the forefront of our minds. I had a conversation with Trevor. I don't even know how long ago it was. But we were talking about how different the churches we grew up in, where we were baptized, were. And I remember I was baptized at a very young age, and I asked if I could lead singing, and they said, no, you're too young, you can't do that. And Trevor's like, well, that's weird. Whenever I got baptized, they're like, all right, you're leading singing on Sunday. It's just very different the way we were brought up. But something Trevor told me that I'll never forget, and it's the reason I'm up here today, is if the elders call you and ask you to do anything, say yes. If you're asked to do something for the Lord, do it. Do your duty. Do your due diligence. If you're able to do it, you need to do it. And it's something that I think of all the time now. The next verse I want to look at, or the next thing I want to think about is, we know that God will continue to provide. We know that we need to keep him in our lives. But we also need to recognize that we have to practice moderation in our everyday life. Moderation, the definition of moderation, without excess or extremes, and I'm not going to give you a dictionary lecture today, I'm just going to tell you that definition. We have to be aware as Christians that we are not extremists. Yes, we are told to be set apart, but set apart is not equal to being an extremist. Being set apart means that we do the things that the Lord has provided for us, and we are not like the world. being an extremist, what too many people who call themselves Christians have a tendency to fall into is going one way or the other. They're either so extreme about their beliefs, they're picketing outside of places, and they're telling people how horrible they are and just slandering people constantly, or they sit back and they're like, well, you know, it's not really any of my business. I'll just stay out of everything. We need to keep away from extremists, but we need to remain set apart. Often people disagree with the Word of God and call us extremists when we follow or teach it, and societal norms do not make them correct. Though people may call us extremists, that doesn't mean we are necessarily extremists. So we need to make sure that we practice moderation in our everyday lives so that we are not on the extreme. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly." The world is not going to like hearing that they're wrong. The world is not going to like people who tell them what they're doing is wrong. And that's why it's our duty as Christians to approach people with love and with thoughtfulness and with tenderness and with kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." There are all too many people in this world today who don't believe in the Word of God and will call us foolish for believing in the Word of God. But the only way that we can be content with the things we have and the things we're given is if we practice this moderation in life without excess or extremes. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." If we have too much, if we have that extreme, it can lead to pride. It can lead to a denial of our Lord. It can lead to haughtiness that we heard about earlier that we need to avoid at all costs. We need to avoid that extreme because it can lead to these things. Also, if we have too little, it can lead to blasphemy and discontent. It can lead to people who don't have enough or don't think they have what they deserve. They'll curse the Lord and they'll be unhappy in every aspect of their life. And we can't have that extreme anywhere near us. We can't have that influence of that extreme. We need to practice moderation and avoid those extremes and excesses. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Romans chapter 14 and verse 22, "Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves." We have to make sure that what we approve and what things we associate ourselves with are not things in which we can condemn ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good work, ready to give and willing to share." We read this verse earlier, but I don't believe we read verse 18. "Let them be good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share." So we need to make sure that we are always ready to give of what we have and willing to share what we have with those in need, because there are those in need all around us, and we need to recognize that and be there for them. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 8, says, "Better is little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice." Ecclesiastes 4, and chapter 4, and verse 6, says, "Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for wind." And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Self-control is mentioned here, and that's something that we overlook all too often as Christians, is that concept of self-control. We think, oh, well, I'm not ridiculous. I don't go after everything I want. I don't get out my wallet and credit card and call every time I see an infomercial, or I don't order the most expensive thing on the menu all the time just because I can, and I don't, fight with people who wrong me, and I don't do this, that, or the other. But self-control is so much more than that, and it's so much more intricate than that, and it works on so many levels that we need to understand that practicing self-control with knowledge means that we must avoid extremes or excesses in every sense and in every case, and also that we must constantly keep tabs on what we're doing and make sure that what we're doing is in the realm of this verse here. I'm going to read it once again, verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Oftentimes, whenever I think about these types of things, there's one song in particular that comes to my mind. Whenever you think about our Lord and His constant presence and care for us being in His thoughts constantly, and Him constantly being willing to provide for us and make sure we have the things we need, even though we are not deserving of those blessings. I think of the song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I want to read that for you. I don't have time to sing it, and I don't know if I've ever led it before. But when I hear this song, I'm always reminded of these things. And so hopefully this song might remind you of these things in the future as well. But Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their course above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Our Lord is extremely faithful to the things he said. Now, don't get me wrong. We know the Lord doesn't have faith. The Lord knows all and sees all. But this concept of faithfulness that it talks about in this song and in the book of Lamentations, which we're about to look at, is the faithfulness that God has to his word. The faithfulness that God has to those who follow and who are righteous. God will keep his word in everything he does. And that goes for the good and the bad. God will provide everything for us. But if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we can't expect the punishment that we're promised in the Bible. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, says, though the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. All these verses this morning, I didn't cite them in the in my slides, but they're all from the New King James Version. And if anybody wants copies of anything I have, please feel free to ask. And I'm more than willing to have a discussion with anybody. This is not the sum of everything you need to know about contentment. This is just a base understanding of the things that we need to keep in mind as Christians that will help us be content a little easier. This is not a lesson about what it takes to be saved. But I implore you, if you have been fighting with the idea of baptism or been thinking about something that you need to get off of your chest, there's no better time than now. Obviously, you can do so at any time. It's not limited to this invitation, and this invitation is not limited to huge monumental things that may be bothering you. If anyone has any need, great or small, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Amen.